Tesem and Aleph, we're up to the 14th line by the first set of two dots. So the Mishnah said, "Im yeshal of orerin yiskayim bechosmav." The Mishnah noted that if there are those who are contesting the validity of the get, you have to certify the get by authenticating the signatures. So asks the Gemara, "Ar arkama? How many people are contesting the validity of this get?" Ilema ar archad v'ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan divrei hakol ein ar arpachos mishnayim. It can't be that there's one person who walks into Beis Din and starts questioning the get and saying maybe the get is a forgery, because if that's the case, we just ignore him. The Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that in order to qualify as what's called an iror, in other words, in order to file a complaint or a protest in court, you need minimally to have two people. One guy walks in and starts to just say the get is a forgery, we just ignore him. So it can't be that it's just one guy. And the Gemara says, on the other hand, the Gemara says, the Ella are our tray ninu. My chaz is dismachta hane smocha hane. On the other hand, if you're going to tell me that there are two people who are filing a complaint saying that the get is a forgery, so then the question becomes, isn't that a classic example of what's called a tray? You have two sets of witnesses who are claiming the get is a forgery. You have the two sets of witnesses who are signed on the get, which is effectively another way of saying that the get is not a forgery. So whenever you have a contradiction within edus, you just throw the two edim out of bezdin. You don't listen and you go back to square one. And square one is that in other words, the question is, why should we rely on those two Edim who are claiming the get as a forgery more than the two Edim who are signed off on the get? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella, you are the... Yeah.
People who contest the get,
yeah,
have any standing. By that I mean, fine. If some person writes a get, it's in Chicago. I don't know from Adam, but I'm just looking to break jobs. Can I go in and contest that? Or do it has to be somebody like a husband or...
Well, that's going to be the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's answer is Ela Ar or Dabal. The Gemara's answer is that it's the husband who's contesting the validity of the get. So it sounds like in the Hava Mina, the Gemara was just assuming that it was just like a random guy who walked into Beis Din and for some reason decides to start questioning the get. So if it's one person, we just ignore him. If it's two people, then why should we believe these two over the two Edim signed? So the answer is because the case is that the husband is the one who's trying to claim that the get is a forgery. That's the scenario where the Gemara says that you need to authenticate the signatures of the witnesses on the get. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, "Amevi get me Medina Sayam be'eno yachalom." The Mishnah says as follows. Let's say you have a shaliach who's delivering a get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, and he's unable to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtav. Now we'll see in the Gemara in a second what that means. What does that mean that he's unable to say it? So the Mishnah says if he's unable to say it, then you have to authenticate the signatures. If you have Edim who can come and say, I recognize the signatures of the two Edim who are signed on the get, so that's okay. Then the Mishnah adds that this halacha also applies not just to a get, but also to a shtar shichur. If you want to free your Eved Kanani, you want to give him the bill of manumission. You want to give him a shtar shichur, so the same halacha is applied. The same standards of b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam. If you bring a shtar shichur from chutz la'aretz, eretz yisrael, all of those same standards are going to apply. So asks the Gemara, my eno yachol lomar. So the question is, what did the Mishnah mean when it said that the person is unable to say b'fanei nechtav? Ilema cheresh, cheresh bar asu yegitahu, v'hasnan, hakok sherin lahavi esaget, chutz mei cheresh shote v'katan. It can't mean that the person is physically unable to utter the words b'fanei nechtav, v'fanei nechtav, meaning to say that he's mute, because the Mishnah told us earlier on Daf Hey that a cheresh is one of the people who is unable to bring a get. He cannot be a shaliach for a get. So the Gemara says, you're right, Amar Rav Yosef, hacha b'may askinan, kikon shenas is a wild case here. The case is that the shaliach delivered the get. He was fully competent. He was not a cheresh. He was 100% kosher to deliver the get. However, before he was able to utter the words b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam, he became a cheresh. That's the scenario that the Mishnah says that you need to verify the signatures by using other aid. Okay. Then we said echad gitei nashim yechad shechru re'avadim tana rabbanan b'shlosha drachim shav.
Okay,
V'chol hashtaros ha'olim be'arko shel ovdei kochavim afal pishach osmein ovdei kochavim k'sherin chutz migitei nashim b'shechrurei avadim uchedivre Rabbi Meir Barba ha'omer tein get zele ishti ushtar shechrur zele avdi ratza lachzor b'shneihem yachzor divre Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara quotes the following halacha. The Gemara says that there are three areas of halacha, or maybe four according to Rabbi Meir, where a get and a shtar shechrur are similar. So what are the three areas of halacha? So the first one is one that we've been discussing since the beginning of this Masechta, which is the requirement of saying b'fanei nechtav u'fanei nechtav when the get or the shtar shechrur is brought from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. So that halacha is the same across the board. The second area of commonality is that in contrast to other types of shtaros, where if you have a kusi, a Samaritan, who signs off on a regular, let's say, shtar mechira, shtar matana, any other kind of a shtar, that is completely fine. The opposite. That's going to disqualify the shtar. A kusi is in fact valid, is going to be a valid witness to sign off on a get or a shtar shechrur. You know, why that is, the Gemara later on is going to discuss. And then the third halacha is that when it comes to a shtar which is written in what's called arkos, written in a non-Jewish court, so then the Gemara says that normally a shtar, in other words, a regular shtar written and signed with non-Jewish signatories, written in a non-Jewish court, normally is okay, except for a get and a shtar shechrur, where if it's signed by a non-Jew, it's a problem. So those are the three similarities between a get and a shtar shechrur. And then Rabbi Meir quotes a fourth area of halacha that's similar, where he says that if a person says to a shaliach, you know, give this get to my wife, give this shtar shechrur to my eved, so provided that the get or the shtar shechrur have yet to be delivered, Rabbi Meir says that the husband or the adon can back out from that statement. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Bishlam al rabbanan min yana lema'ute hadi Rabbi Meir, el al Rabbi Meir min yana lema'ute mai. So I understand why the Brisa has to specify that there are three ways in which a get resembles a shtar shechrur according to the Rabbanan, because that the fact that the Brisa specifies three ways according to the Rabbanan is to the exclusion of that fourth halacha that Rabbi Meir cited, because the Rabbanan disagree. They say that once the husband says, deliver this get to my wife, or the adam says, deliver the shtar shechrur to my eved, they are unable to back out, even if the get has yet to be delivered. So that's why the Brisa has to specify, these are the only three areas of halacha in which there is a similarity between a get and a shtar shechrur, to the exclusion of that fourth area that Rabbi Meir cites. But according to Rabbi Meir, who says that there are four similarities between a get and a shtar shechrur, what then is the purpose of the Brisa specifying the number of halachos? So the Gemara says, lema'ute hadesanya, edim she'en yodim lachtom, mekarin lahem niyar chalak, umemalem es hakra'im diyo. According to Rabbi Meir, the Brisa specifying the number of areas of halacha in which a get resembles a shtar shechrur is meant to exclude the following. The Gemara a little bit later on, Daf Yates, says as follows. Let's say I have witnesses who don't know how to sign their own name. So the question becomes, how do we get their signatures onto the shtar? So the Gemara says very simply, all you have to do is you essentially tear a blank piece of paper and you essentially make like a stencil of the letters of their name, and you just have them fill in those blank pieces that you traced with ink. So this way, you know, their signatures essentially appear on the shtar. However, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel qualifies this halacha. He says that which the Gemara later on in Daf Yotes tells us, that if the Edom don't know how to sign, that you can tear the pieces of paper and stencil it and have them essentially fill it in, that's only true by a get. That is not the case when it comes to a shtar shechrur or by any other shtar for that matter. Now, the problem is that when Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel quotes this qualification, he throws in another factor which the Gemara did not mention previously, which is not just the fact that the Edom don't know how to sign their own names, but also he says im yodin likros velachton, they also don't know how to read the shtar, which prompts the Gemara to ask kriya man dechar shmei. Who mentioned anything about the Edom knowing how to read the shtar? That's immaterial. As long as they understand the contents of the shtar, why does it matter whether they can read it? The issue at hand seemingly here is whether they know how to sign their own names. So the Gemara says, you're right, chasuri mechasre v'hachi katani, Edom she'en Yodin Likros, Korin Lifneim Vichosmin, Vishain Yodin Lachto Mikarin Lahem. There were basically two separate halachos that were stated here. The first halacha was that if the Edom don't know how to read the shtar, so then we read it for them. In other words, we read the shtar in front of them. And then the second halacha is that if they don't know how to sign their own names, so then the Gemara says that we have to do this whole shtick with the stencil and have them fill in the letter. Now again, the Gemara, that this qualification of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is going to be argued upon by Rabbi Meir, because again, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that this method of using the stencils and having them fill in their own names only works by a get. It doesn't work by a shtar shichur. So Rabbi Meir is going to exclude that and say, oh, this is an area where maybe there is a similarity. That's why this halacha is excluded, and that's the significance of the Brisa mentioning the number of areas of halacha in which there's a similarity between a get and a shtar shichur, even according to Rabbi Meir. Okay, then the Gemara asks, Vesu leika, vehaika, haomer tenu get zela ishti, ushtar shichur zela avdi vames, lo yetnu liachar misa, tenu mana lefloni vames, yetnu liachar misa. The Gemara says that there are other areas of halacha in which a get and a shtar shichur are similar in contrast to other areas of halacha. So for example, the Gemara says, let's say a person says, you know, deliver this get to my wife, deliver the shtar shichur to my eved, and then the husband or the adun dies before the get or the shtar shichur is delivered. So the Gemara says, in those scenarios, the get and the shtar shichur cannot be given. Why not? Because there's a halacha called that ain get liachar misa or ain shtar liachar misa. You cannot deliver a get or a shtar shichur once the person is dead. So in other words, if it hasn't yet been delivered, it's no good. However, on the other hand, if let's say, for example, Reuven says to Shimon, I want you to give Levi 100 dinar, and then Reuven dies before the 100 dinar was delivered, you can give that to, you can still give the 100 dinar to Levi. So the question is, why wasn't this distinction mentioned in the Brisa? The fact that if the guy says give the get or give the shtar shichur and then he dies, that you can't give it, that's another similarity between a get and a shtar shichur. Why was that omitted from the Brisa? So says the Gemara, ki katane milsa de leise b'shtaros, milsa de ise b'shtaros lo katane, de shalach ravin mishmei de rabbi avo, havu yodin sheshalach rabbi alazar lagola mishum rabbeinu, shchiv nerasha amar kisvu senu mana lefloni vames, ein kosvin venosnen, shema lo gamar lahaknoso ela b'shtar, vein shtar liachar misa. The Gemara basically says, the Gemara again is answering a textual question with a textual answer. The Gemara says that those examples that the Brisa mentioned of halachos that are similar between a get and a shtar shichur, the Brisa only mentioned those types of halachos that are unique to get and shtar shichur. This particular halacha, the notion that you cannot give a get or give a shtar shichur after the person died, is not unique to get and shtar shichur. That halacha applies across the board to all types of shtaros. The Gemara references a case that appears at the end of Maseches Bava Basra that says the following. So you have a person who's on his deathbed, and on his deathbed he says, I want you to write a shtar, and the shtar is basically a deed of transfer that says I'm delivering 100 dinar to to Reuven, and then Shimon who issued the transfer dies. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to write that shtar up and deliver the money. Why? Because maybe Shimon only intended to deliver the money to Reuven via a shtar, and the halacha is that ein shtar la'achar misa. You cannot authorize or give a shtar or a get any type of document after the person is dead. So the Gemara says the reason why this example was omitted from the Brisa is because it's not unique to get in shtar shichur. It's a universal truth that you cannot deliver any kind of a shtar after the person dies. Okay, then the Gemara asks, v'ha'ika l'shma. The Gemara says, well, there's another area of halacha where there's a commonality between a get and a shtar shichur that's actually unique to get in shtar shichur, which is the requirement that a get and a shtar shichur, both of them, must be written l'shma. Now again, what exactly that means, that's the discussion we had earlier about get. We're going to discuss it a lot more in the second paragraph as well. But the basic idea is that the get has to be written for the sake of the man, the sake of the woman. The shtar shichur has to be written for the sake of the adon, the sake of the eved. So why is that commonality not mentioned in the Brisa? So the Gemara clarifies this question a little bit. Bishlam ala rabba haynu molech umevi ela l'rava kasha. So first of all, the Gemara points out that this question seemingly about why is the case of l'shma not mentioned in the Brisa, that question would seem to only make sense according to Rava. According to Rava, again, remember, back in the very first daf of the Masechta, we had a machlokas between Rava and Rava as to why is there a din called Befane Nechtav Ufane Nechtav. Rava was the one who said, because ain't Bekiyin Belishma, we're afraid that people in Chutz La'aretz don't know the halacha, so saying Befane Nechtav Ufane Nechtav is a way to gauge that they really understand the halacha, whereas Rava had a much more practical reason, which is ain't Edom Mitzuyin Lekaimo. It's just a way to make sure, because we assume that the Edom from Chutz La'aretz are not going to be here in Eretz Yisrael, so it was more of a practical matter. So the Gemara says, according to Rava, that the purpose of Befanei Nichtav is basically to ascertain whether the get was given l'shma. So the Gemara says, I actually understand why the Brisa doesn't mention this example of l'shma. Why? Because the Brisa already told us that molech umevi, that when you bring a get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael or vice versa, that you require Befanei Nichtav, which according to Rava is just another way of saying l'shma. So that's why we don't have a separate example in the Brisa of l'shma, because according to Rava, it was already mentioned. But according to Rava, who says that the purpose of Befanei Nichtav is just a practical matter because we think that the Edom are not going to be around, so then the case of lishma, the fact that a get or a shtar shichur must be written lishma is never mentioned in the brisa, and the question is therefore why not? So that's question number one. Visu being l'rabba being l'rava ha'ika mechubar. Then the Gemara says that you could ask another question, even according to Rabba, both according to Rabba and to Rava, which is that there's another area of halacha, another commonality between get and shtar shichur that's omitted from the brisa, which is the fact that if I write a get or a shtar shichur on something which is mechubar lakarka, something which is attached to the ground. For example, let's say I write a get on a leaf that's attached to a tree, that's pasul. That psul applies to a shtar shichur as well. Why is that disqualification not mentioned in the brisa? So the Gemara says, ki katane psula derabanan de oraisa lo katane. So the Gemara says that the brisa was only mentioning those disqualifications that disqualify a get or a shtar shichur midrabanan, but not writing a get or a shtar shichur lishma, or writing a getter shtar shichur on something which is attached to the ground, that's a psul de oraisa. So asks the Gemara, what do you mean? V'ha arko shel ovde kochavim defsula de oraisa hu vikatane. Well, what about the disqualification mentioned in the brisa of a getter shtar shichur written in a non-Jewish court? The brisa mentioned that disqualification is certainly problematic mid de oraisa. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Be'ede mesira ucha Rabbi Elazar de amar ede mesira kaisei. Comes the Gemara and references a very famous machlokes, which we're going to discuss many, many times throughout this Masechta. It's going to come up hundreds of times in this Masechta, and it comes up in a few other places as well. A famous machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar as to which edim, which set of witnesses effectuate a divorce, or in the case of the shtar shichur, effectuate the freedom of the slave. According to Rabbi Elazar, which happens to be the way that we paskin, edim mesira karze. Edim mesira referred to the edim who are responsible for transferring the get, let's say in the case of the get, from the husband to the wife, or in the case where if there are shliach from the husband's side to the shliach of the wife, whereas Rabbi Meir disagrees and says that edim chasima karze. He says that no, that it's the edim who are signed off on the shtar, on the get itself, that effectuate the divorce. So the Gemara says like this, according to Rabbi Elazar, he thinks that the Ede Chasima, Mid Oraisa, don't really matter. Who the people that sign off on the get are Minatora, according to Rabbi Elazar, don't really matter because they don't effectuate the divorce anyway. It's the people who are handing the get over that really effectuate the divorce. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar would argue that if I have a get where there are non-Jews who are signed off on the bottom as Edim, that's only a disqualification Mid Rabbana, not Mid Oraisa, because Mid Oraisa, it's the Ede Mesira, it's the guys who are transferring the get that really make the difference, not the people who are signed off on the bottom. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar is going to argue that this is actually a psul midrabanan, and that's the reason why this case appears in the brisa, because it's only a disqualification midrabanan according to Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara pushes back. The Gemara says, "V'hami de katani seifa." Rab Shimon Omer Af Eluk Sheirin VaAmar Rab Zera Yara Rab Shimon Lishitaso Shor Rabbi Elazar DaAmar Edim Mesira Karse Michlad Lasana Kama Savar Lo. So the Gemara says, but if you look at the latter part of the brisa, the latter part of the brisa quotes the opinion of Rab Shimon. Rab Shimon says that this get that's signed off by a non-Jew is a kosher get, and he Gemara says is obviously following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that it's the Edim Mesira, that it's the Edim who transfer, who hand off the get, that are the primary Edim who effectuate the chalos of the divorce. The Edom who signed off on the bottom are basically meaningless. But the implication is, says the Gemara, that the Tanakama, that the Rabbanan, which are going to disagree and are going to side with Rabbi Meir, that Edei Chasima Karsei. Now again, if you subscribe to Rabbi Meir's position that the Edom who sign off on the get are the primary Edom, so then this becomes a disqualification Mida Oraisa. If the Edom who signed off on the bottom are non-Jewish and you hold like Rabbi Meir, that get is disqualified Mida Oraisa, which pushes the question back, why then do the Rabbanan list this example of a get written in a non-Jewish court in the brisa? Isn't that a psul mida oraisa? It's not merely a psul mida rabbanan if you subscribe to Rabbi Meir. So says the Gemara, no. Ika beinayu shemos muvhakin. The Gemara says that really everyone agrees, even the rabbanan agree to Rabbi Elazar that edim asira karsei. The machlokes between Reb Shimon and the Tanakama is about a scenario where the names of the witnesses signed on the bottom of the get are unambiguously non-Jewish names. There's no doubt about it. The names on the bottom of this get cannot be Jewish names. There's no two ways about it. So the Gemara says that's the machlokas. What's the machlokas in that scenario exactly? So the Gemara basically explains that according to Reb Shimon, if the names signed on the bottom of the get are unambiguously non-Jewish, then you know those were not the same people who delivered the get. The people who delivered the get were obviously Jewish, and the get is totally fine. Whereas the Rabbanan say there's no way to know that. Maybe the unambiguously non-Jewish names that were signed off on the bottom of the get were the same non-Jews who delivered the get as well. well. And that's why the Rabbanan say that the get is problematic. So that's the machlokas. Again, everyone agrees, lahalacha, that we paskin like Rabbi Elazar, that it's the Edom who deliver the get that effectuate the divorce, not the Edom who are signed off on the bottom. The only reason why the Rabbanan, why there's a machlokas here about what the status of this get is in a specifically in a scenario where the names signed on the bottom of the get are unambiguously non-Jewish, which now leads us to a question as to, are those the same Edom who also delivered the get, or are they actually a different set of Edom?